It's a real joy to be with you this evening. Thank you so much for that welcome. The whole theme of the Old Testament was hope. The readings that we've had during Advent just stress that. The Isaiah readings last two Sundays ago, Baruch. Yesterday, Zephaniah. Zephaniah and Baruch are minor prophets. The only time Zephaniah is ever mentioned in the New Testament is in Matthew's Gospel. They were all talking about, well, let me tell you who they were talking to. They were talking to the people in exile. So they're prophesying what it's going to be like when they come back from the exile. And they were offering the people hope. But everything changed. We celebrated this last Wednesday with the Immaculate Conception. Because with Mary's I Do, history went from B.C. to A.D. Before Christ, in the year of the Lord. So history went from hoping against hope to hope has arrived in Jesus. But that hope that Jesus brought about was a journey. That's why the title of my talk tonight is Facing the Future with Hope. Because Jesus journeyed through hope for us, brought us hope, and we have to do that. So Jesus went from being born, baptized, found in the temple, started his preaching, went through the sacrament of the Eucharist and Holy Thursday, suffered and died for us on Good Friday, brought us extreme hope on Easter Sunday, and then promised us hope that came on Pentecost. So even that whole experience of Jesus being our way, our truth, our life, and our hope was a journey for Jesus throughout his life. And that's the case for all of us. Now, it's important to remember that hope is a theological virtue. We often use the word hope in the form of a wish. I hope I win the lottery. Well, buy a ticket, for heaven's sake. I hope the Steelers have a better year next year. Right? So really, when you use the word hope in that context, and most of the time we use hope, it's in the context of a wish. But hope is a theological virtue, a godly virtue. There's three of them. Faith, it's what I believe in, and I trust God. Love, which is a manifestation of my faith. And the bridge word is hope. Hope connects the faith and the love. And we're asked to face the future with hope. Hoping theologically for two things to happen. The first thing that we hope will happen is captured in the Our Father. Thy kingdom come. We really do hope that Jesus will come in his glory, bring about the total, complete victory. Thy kingdom come. We hope for that. And if you're really a person of faith, you really would like that to happen soon. The other way hope is used is for us personally. I hope I will be found worthy to go to heaven. So it's in that context that we talk about hope, the theological virtue. Okay, so let's look at the first hope, okay? Thy kingdom come. Now, when you pray that in the Our Father, did you ever reflect on when you wanted that to happen? Thy kingdom come now? No, I haven't opened my Christmas gifts yet. I don't want it to come now. You know, so we say thy kingdom come, but do we really mean right here, right now? Well, maybe those of us who are a little older are much more open to it happening sooner. I don't know why they call the senior years the golden years. They're the rust years. And many of you have heard me say this: if you wake up in the morning and nothing hurts, you're probably dead. So I myself, bring it on, God. Bring it. Let's wrap this all up. And I tell you, the pandemic has caused us to maybe think along those categories, huh? And the violence and the division in our country. I quit watching the news in 1995. I was not going to let them steal my hope. So we have to journey. We have to face the future with hope. And Paul gives a very short verse in Romans that's easy to remember, okay? Would you all please repeat this after me? Romans 12:12. Romans 12:12. So one verse, it's the definition of what a Christian should be. And he says this: rejoice in hope, be patient under trial, be constant in prayer. Okay? So Advent is a journey towards Christmas, and Romans 12:12 is a journey for our life, you know, as adults. Rejoice in hope. Our hope lies in that we have been saved by Jesus' precious death and resurrection. We know the end of the story. We know the end of the story. He comes in glory. A priest was preaching a parish mission, and he went like this: everybody wants to go to heaven, stand up right now. Everybody stood up except one man. He said to the man, don't you want to go to heaven? The man said, well, not if you're leaving now. You know, earth is our gymnasium, heaven is our home. But we hope for that. Rejoice in hope. Be patient under trial. Every generation feels that it has the worst situation to go through. And, you know, when they say when Tom Brokaw wrote the book, The Greatest Generation That Ever Lived, about our relatives, our ancestors who went through the First World War, the Depression, Second World War, I think that's true. But our generation, since the 50s, have lived with nuclear weapons, the possibility, so many countries having it, biological weapons. We have lived with the constant threat of war here, war there, now the pandemic, the breakdown of the family, people who identify themselves with other pronouns than what they were born with. Yeah, we're living in extremely challenging times. Rejoice in hope. Where's our hope? You don't need a Pollyanna. You don't need a priest to stand up here tonight and tell you that life is easy. Life is challenging. It's very challenging. But we need to rejoice in hope. Why? Because in Advent we say, come, Lord Jesus. Now, let's look at that for a moment. The cry of Advent is, come, Lord Jesus. It's not like Jesus is going to come because he's been somewhere else since last Christmas. Jesus doesn't break into our life from the outside. Jesus breaks out of our life from the inside. But what we're saying, come, Lord Jesus, during Advent is, come and remind us. Come and remind us that we're beloved sons and daughters of God. That we're brothers and sisters of Christ. Come and remind us what peace on earth can be really like. Come and remind us to love another person is to see the face of God. Come and remind us, and we heard this when the angel said this to Mary at the Annunciation, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Well, when we see all the war, when we see all the bad news, when we see all the fighting, when we see the school shootings, when we see all of that, we're wondering, hello? What are you on retirement down in Clearwater? Of course not. He's closer to us in the air and our breath. So it's not like come somewhere where you're hiding, where you're on retirement, and come again. No, it's here. Rejoice in hope. Why can we be patient under trial? Because he's here. He's closer to us in the air and our breath. He whispers to us. If we're quiet enough, what does he whisper? You know, I've had the opportunity to preach so often at St. Teresa's that I can't always give you new material. So forgive me for repeating some of the things I've said before, but they're lifelong messages. Okay, so the priest, right before communion, goes, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." Your part, please. Lord, now I'm guessing some of you have said that thousands of times. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what's the word? But only say, the word, and my soul shall be. What's the word? Well, it's very evident to us at Christmas time. It's love. Christmas is the feast of love. And why? Because love heals. Love forgives. Love helps us lose our blinders and see the glory of God. Only say the word. Say it again, Jesus. I need to hear it now. I need to hear it differently this year than last year because there's been a death in the family. Because I've been real sick. I had surgery. My eyesight's not as good as it used to be. All my kids are spread out all over the country, out of the country. Say it, Jesus. Because I've struggled with sin, this one sin in my life, you know? It's been a struggle. Say the word, Jesus. I love you. I do. I love you. Now, I'm going to take you through a series of questions right now, okay? Please do not answer them out loud. Because if you do, I'll pray against you. Kidding. Well, so answer these quietly in your heart. Number one, do you believe that God loves you unconditionally? Are you answering? Number two, can God love you any more? Number three, can God love you any less? Number four, does God's love for you depend upon good behavior? He can't love you anymore. St. John says God is love. Not human love, divine love. St. John says God is love, period. He loves you unconditionally. Can't love you anymore, can't love you any less. And for those who grew up in the Catholic Church where, you know, you got to sin. Here is sin, there is sin, everywhere is sin, sin. Old MacDonald had a sin. We became so sin-oriented that we forgot what love does. It's unconditional love. How often should I forgive? 70 times 7. That's God. Jesus speaking. How many times did we don't have to earn God's love. That's our hope. Rejoice in hope. Be patient under trial. Be constant in prayer. What's the prayer? I believe you love me and I won't be afraid. I believe you love me and I won't be afraid. So we hope. We walk through hope, right? We're to Advent, a season of hope. You know, I'm a firm believer that Christianity is an adult religion. You know, little kids, the reason why they practice any religion is because they imitate their parents. But there comes a time, and it's not in the eighth grade. You know, one of my biases comes out. I don't think we should be confirming the eighth or ninth grade, but I'm not the bishop yet. So, oh, you gotta laugh. Come on, you gotta laugh. No, I mean, 13, 14 is not, and we know all the statistics that they stand up and say, I confirm, and then they don't practice shortly after that. You know, Christianity is an adult religion because when the cross comes into focus, then you find out if you really believe and you still have your hope. We hope against hope. You've heard that. But it's a theological virtue. We're not doing this on our own. We're responding to the movement of God in our life. Do you know how many women get a job when their husbands retire? You know how hard it is for two people to live under the same roof 24 hours a day? One day my mother said to me, "Scott, go get your father's hearing tested." I said, "Mom, why?" "Well, I'm talking to him and he's just staring right ahead. He's not hearing me." "Oh, Mom, he hears you, he's just not listening." A wife said to her husband one day, "Listen, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you." Rejoice in hope, be patient under trial, and be constant in prayer. It's a job description of a Christian. And we hope. So many people have become fatalistic. So many people have quit believing in God because God hasn't just fixed everything. He's not going to take away free will. But we know the end of the story. We win in the end. Nothing's impossible to God. So I'm going to end now telling you my all-time favorite joke, which many of you have heard already, I'm sure. This little poor boy, everything he has is hand-me-downs. Clothes are hand-me-downs, toys are hand-me-downs. His favorite toy is a little wooden wagon he pulls behind him on a string, on a rope, wherever he goes. The only trouble is the wagon was so old and shaky that the back wheels would keep falling off. Well, when the back wheels would fall off, Johnny would go, "I'll be damned." One day he's walking by the church, pulling the wagon. The back wheels fall off. Johnny goes, "I'll be damned. The pastor's outside." The pastor says, "Who is that?" He goes, "It's Johnny, Father." The pastor says, "Listen, Johnny, when something goes wrong, don't say bad words. Don't you believe in a miracle? Listen, when something goes wrong, instead of saying bad words, go like this. Thank you, Jesus." Johnny looks at the pastor like, "Yeah, right." Puts the back wheels on. Goes about 25 more feet. The back wheels fall off. And Johnny goes, "Thank you, Jesus." Just then the back wheels straighten up, attach himself to the wagon, and he hears the pastor go, "Well, I'll be damned." You see, even priests have to have hope. Please leave here with hope. I don't have all the scientific facts from my fingertips, but you can live so long without food, you can live so long without water, but you can't live very long without hope.